Blog Talk Radio.
Beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McConduchy. Thank you for joining me here this afternoon, just before sunset on this wonderful Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. Praise God. You've heard a portion of Silver and Gold by Kirk Franklin and the Family, older song from the early 90s. But I love it. Now I know what it truly means, because there's no amount of money or fame or prestige or fortune that can give the peace that Jesus Christ can give. Philippians 4:6-7, specifically Philippians 4:7, that surpasses all understanding. And of course, that John talks about my peace. I give to you not peace as the world gives. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think it's John 16:33, but I'm not quite certain. But yes, so today we are talking about Money Matters for Christians, and it might seem a little contradictory that I would play the song Silver and Gold that says I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, and then saying that money matters. But the reality is both are true. We know in our hearts as Christians that, spiritually we know that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is invaluable. There's no price tag that can be, well, he already paid the price with his life, but there's no monetary price tag that can be put on it. But at the same time, we have to operate within this world, and what goes on, it certainly does involve, monetary transactions and those kinds of things. It's just, a necessity in this life here on earth. So we have to be realistic about that. And I thought it was so important to cover because a lot of Christians, this is sort of a hidden, dirty little secret, so to speak, for a lot of people in general, but even Christians, in terms of feeling very incompetent about money and managing money and handling money, understanding it, getting control of it so it does not control us. So that's why I want to do this four-part series in January at the beginning of the year to help someone out there. Praise the Lord, get on track with finances. It could have been years, it could have been decades that you've been struggling, and in the hole and unable to progress due to financial setbacks and economic hardship, some possibly that you've caused yourself, but others that may have been, other situations that may have been just put on you, such as a layoff or a health concern that becomes costly for possibly medicine or surgical procedures or things. So we just, you know, really never know. But I just thought it was important. We're going to be covering four different aspects of Money Matters. Today we're talking about tithing and charitable giving. Next week we'll talk about saving and spending. In the third week we'll talk about business investments. And then the fourth and final week will be legacy and inheritance. So just wanted to give you a heads up on all that, what's coming ahead. So I want to talk about people of influence today, and they're actually a number of people, any financial experts who are truly passionate and sincere and genuine and authentic about helping people, because we have financial experts out there who are about exploiting and, you know, getting people into positions where they're actually worse off than when they came to those individuals. They have agendas and ulterior motives and, you know, really just trying to hustle somebody or, you know, and I dealt with that with someone and who was claiming to be on our side and supportive, but really she was about scamming. And so I am saying the people of influence are the legitimate ones who have, again, you know, hearts that truly want to help people. So Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace, and his Financial Peace Seminar, which I'm starting tomorrow at the library, yay. Should have taken it many years ago. One of my god sisters told me about it years ago. But I'm just now taking it. And he and Susie Orman, especially Susie Orman's, her particular insights as it relates to women, us as women and our money management practices and patterns, helping us to overcome some of those unhealthy habits and courses of action we take that have detrimental results and consequences, to turn those into positive, empowering opportunities for us to grow and gain financial confidence for the present and for the future. Robert Kiyosaki as well, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then, you know, we have Think and Grow Rich, which my pastor recommended I read. So all those types of individuals and their particular platforms for helping people become more knowledgeable and proficient in Money Matters. So praise report, just want to say so far the first few days back have been wonderful. Hallelujah, praise God. My son started a new job today, and so he is working. It seems like he's really going to enjoy it, Zaxby's. And I'm just, I'm excited about what's ahead for the year. I've begun to map out a financial plan for myself because there's a certain place that I want to be by next year, 2020, and then by 2025, you know, when I'm in my mid-40s, around in there. So, you know, I through Jesus Christ, I feel great about where things are right now because of just over the years' experience, what experiences have taught me, and God's grace and mercy sustained me and carried me through when I was not making prudent financial choices at all. But there are many people right now, my prayers are for people who are in bankruptcy and foreclosure and all these things, laid off, terminated, been out of jobs, homeless, or whatever the case may be as a result of financial issues, that doors would open for them, that the Lord would turn around for them, but also that if they have a responsibility piece in it, that accountability, you know, does rest with them, because accountability rests with each one of us as it relates to our own money. We can't put that off on someone else once we become adults. Let's have prayer. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for just being awesome and mighty and wonderful as you are. Thank you for your loving kindness, grace, and mercy every day. Lord, we do not deserve it. We know that we've taken advantage often. And, Lord, right now I just want to say from me to you, Lord, please forgive me for any way I've transgressed your word, not been obedient, not shown regard. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Help me to walk uprightly with you, Lord God. And also, Lord, help me to understand the importance of financial management and why, you know, since you have allowed money on this to operate on this earth, it's important that we have respect for it and that we treat it and handle it as you would want us to handle it and treat it. So thank you so much, Lord. I pray for those now, again, and all these various conditions that are causing them to have financial stress and financial security insecurity, Lord. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So now we're going to look at what the Bible says about tithing and charitable giving. So as far as tithes and offering, 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, there be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Luke 6:38, given, we've given to you good measure, pressed out, shaken together, running over, we put into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Malachi 3, 8, will man rob God, yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you're cursed with a curse. For you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes to the storehouse, there may be food in my house. Psalm 4, 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Acts 20:35, one of my favorite scripture verses, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Matthew 6:21, for where the treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. All right, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Genesis 14:20, and blessed be God most high, who delivered your enemies into your hand, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now we're going to see what the Bible says about charitable giving, and then we're going to talk about what exactly those mean so we have a clear-cut understanding of how those apply in terms of scripture and in terms of the churches we attend and our membership and fellowship with other Christians. Hebrews 13:60, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, he will pay him for his deed. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that's something you want to definitely think about. We want to all think about, because in our giving we should be willing and wanting to give. It shouldn't be begrudging in any way. Well, let's look at one of these surveys. I did pull a couple of surveys on tithing and charitable giving just to get some feedback as far as trends were taking place in society. And we're going to look at first some church giving statistics that were conducted in or gathered in July 18th, 2018, so only about 6 months ago. So these are some statistics about the interesting financial habits of those in America. And this is, you can Google this, go to pushpay.com, church giving statistics 2018. Pushpay.com. Church Giving Statistics 2018 edition. So it basically says, here are statistics about Christian giving habits. Number one, tithers only make up 10 to 25% of any congregation. So you probably already knew the money that's coming in is usually just coming from a few people. It's just like if there's a place at work, the people who are actually working consistently are really just a few people, okay? That's pretty much the case in the industry. It's very sad, but it is describing a very typical pattern that somebody's always looking at somebody else to pass it off. Well, I don't have $10, but I don't have $25, I don't have $5, whatever. 8 out of 10 people who give to churches have zero credit card debt. Now, that is phenomenal. I wish I could get with these people. So, you know, it's that's a good correlation with the stewardship piece. They know how to manage their money at home, and therefore they can manage it within the church, too. Religious giving is down about 50% since 1990. Very, very appalling to hear. On average, Christians give 2.5% of their income to churches. It is very low considering all the people, all the bodies you see staying in the church. Families that make $75,000, only 1% donated 1/10 of their income. So that's not good. And some people are like, why does the government take care of these individuals? Well, first of all, the government's not, and we can't make the government do anything. And second of all, we need to take some responsibility as well for those people as Christians, what we can do. People who attend 27 plus church services a year get an average of $2,935. So that's a long time. 96% of practicing Christians have given to a church or not. Does somebody even bother trying to, you know, 32% of all donations go to religious organizations. Of church giving happens throughout the week. Baby boomers 1946 through 1964 make up 41.6% of the donor population and 30% of the U.S. population. Okay, and Generation Y, 1981 through 1997, are 7.1% of donors and 30.4% of the population of the U.S. 60% of millennials donate an average of $481 to nonprofits every year. That's more than some adults donate, so bravo for him. I mean, for them. Thinking about my son here. Statistics related to digital giving, 14% of churchgoers want giving envelopes available for checks and cash. Recurring givers annually donate 42% more than their one-time donors. Okay. So that's just some interesting information there. And then next we have on study, have a truth about tithers. There are two truths here. Now, tithing is a biblical concept that was first spoken by God, publicized by God in the cafeteria, I think. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I started thinking about my school, publicized, I'm sorry, by God in terms of the giving back in the church. So the 10% is just what we go by because that's what's biblically referenced and no other amount is given. It's supposed to be the first fruits, the best before anything else. And so people ask, well, why is there still tithing in church? Why do we need to, that's Old Testament, not New Testament. There are some New Testament references to giving back and giving, you know, the best of what you have. But really the reality of it is just like in their own homes and places where we live, we have to pay for lights and for, you know, different things to run and function. Is the same thing in the church buildings we have. You don't have that as common in the Old Testament or New Testament because much of the churches were occurring, church gatherings rather, were occurring outside or in places that maybe weren't as costly to upkeep, but it's a different, you know, day and time. So that's, you know, the tithing, just the supporting of your particular church where you attend. And if you don't belong to a church, then obviously you would not have the tithing element because the people of that particular church in that congregation membership should be tithing, just like in a, you know, in a family, who's ever in a family, the adult or adults in that family are the ones who are, you know, responsible for the caretaking. But, you know, the charitable giving piece, and we'll get to that in a moment. Well, now we can say, what does the Bible say about charitable giving? That is something that we can all do. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Luke 12:33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Matthew 5:42, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Proverbs 21:13, whoever closes the ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. So, again, you know, it is obvious how in Scripture it is emphasized, Lord has emphasized the importance of being compassionate toward those who are less fortunate. Now, the charitable giving aspect, and I'll go on to say, here are some truths that they mentioned about tithers. Most tithers donate more than 10%. Tithers are a small percentage of the people in the congregation, but they donate the majority of the money. This is another study, The Steward's Journey, STEWARDS, like being a steward, thestewardsjourney.com. Most tithers first started giving 10% when they were young. Most tithers donate 10% or more based on their gross income, not their net income. Tithing Christians are better off financially than non-tithing Christians. For Christian tithers, average debt-free 28% versus not Christian non-tithers 13%. Oh, on a mortgage, 52% of Christian tithers versus 66% of Christian non-tithers. Making car payments, again, fewer Christian tithers than Christian non-tithers. Fewer have credit card bills. Fewer have debts of $2,500 to $50,000. Fewer have debts over $50,000. 58 more have assets. Christian tithers have assets estimated $250,000 or more than Christian non-tithers. Donate to five places. And 71% have a will, estate, or plan. And we're going to talk about legacy and inheritance later on in our series. Most tithers donate a variety of ways, checks, cash donations. They donate household goods, other property. Tithers faithfully donate to their church. Tithers give to many places outside their church.
for missions work, your Salvation Army, your Red Cross, your other philanthropic humanitarian organizations, rescue missions, disaster relief efforts. Most tithers learn biblical financial and giving principles from others. Their church pastor, their parents, grandparents, or financial classes that they attended. Most tithers have minimal indebtedness, and most tithers have significant net assets in their estate but have not remembered to leave charitable bequests. Most tithers are very active in their local congregations. Most tithers regularly read the Bible. Tithers in our research identify themselves as attending churches of all types and sizes. Tithers in our last survey came from all income brackets and locations. Tithers are split between who in the family actually makes the donation. In 2012, about half of the tithers belong to churches that were strong financially. In 2012, most tithers, like other Americans, have been impacted by our nation's down economy. This is a little bit of an older survey, but top five reasons non-tithing Christians don't give 10% or more. 38% said they could not afford it. 33% said they have too many debts. 18% indicated the spouses did not agree. 15% indicated they believed in proportionate giving. And 14% indicated their bookkeeping finances were a mess. The bottom line is it should definitely be prioritized. There's another survey, worldvision.org, says majority of Americans donate to charity at the end of December. Yeah, Christmas time, the holiday time, this is the time you see a lot of people giving back. But people who are homeless, which I have been before, people who are in other underprivileged and unfortunate circumstances and economic hardship, they have these, you know, issues all year, not just during the holiday time. And so we need to be mindful of that, however you want to do your charitable donations in whatever capacity. But it should be spread out throughout the year, because I definitely try to do that with Salvation Army, St. Jude, and other organizations I support, in addition to tithing for my home church. So we just need to make sure that we remember, based upon Scripture, what God calls us to. And the practical part of, if you belong to a church, if you're a member of a church, you have a responsibility to be tithing if you have membership in that church. That's just what God calls us to do. You're part of that body, and you should be making contributions, no matter how small, because it's based upon your income. I do not believe in these churches that, where people have to show their W-2s and all of that. I believe in personal accountability, between a Christian, between myself and God, between you and God, because we're each going to have to be accountable for ourselves and answer for ourselves when the time comes. So I don't believe in that. If somebody is comfortable with that, so be it. But I just think that we need to be, accountable spiritually on our own and know what is right and do that with faith and integrity, which is to tithe and be. And you can see from this particular survey how much better off financially tithers were. So if you have money issues and money challenges, tithe, not only because it's the right thing to do and it pleases God. Hopefully you want to please God. We should all as Christians want to and seek to please him. But also it does have some great benefits and advantages for us as well in the financial realm as well as other areas, relationships and I think overall self fulfillment in many areas. So next week, or next Wednesday, we're going to talk about Money Matters Part 2, saving and spending. These are big, also part of stewardship. So we'll be talking more specifically about what the Word of God says about that and how we as Christians can be mindful, aware, and, definitely prudent and have some discretion as it relates to those particular aspects in the financial realm. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm sorry I had a long day and I was slip it off into another, topic there for a minute. But thank you for sticking with me. I'm very blessed that you are here, that you were here today. Be safe this evening. I'm headed to church for Bible study in just a little bit here. But God bless you, and I'll be with you again soon. Bye.